here. All right. Whew, can't really see you guys. All right. So thank you guys so much for coming. Now I'm going to ask you a few questions. How many of you were here December 13th? Raise your hand. How many of you? Okay, put your hands down. The 24th. All right. Now put your hands back down. How many of you were here both times? Raise your hand. That's pretty cool. How many of you here are new? Never been here before? Awesome. A lot of hands in every subject. That's awesome. So just a recap of last time we were here. We talked about how great God is, remember? We talked about how if the earth were a golf ball, and we really related to how small we are and how great God is. Well, we had a great time. A lot of people had a lot of fun. But the great thing about speaking, about giving messages, is that right when you're done, you got to think of a new one. I mean, it's like, yes, I did it. But then you're like, uh-oh, now I got to think of a new message to talk to you guys right now. So I was praying and I was thinking, God, what do I talk about, right? So I was thinking February, what is February always known for? Valentine's Day, love, thank you. So I thought, perfect, I'm just talking to you guys tonight about love, you know, about relationships, you know, your significant other. No, exactly, amen, little kids. I'm glad you guys think that still. God said, are you kidding me? Toss it. It will come soon, but not tonight. So I was praying. I was like, God, what am I supposed to talk about? And so actually that Thursday, some of the students, actually Shaylin and Robbie were with me. We prayer walked around the school before school started. And I found myself praying against the hypocrisy of Christians. I found myself praying that the Christians will have their light shine. And so I was all excited, had a lot of fun. We had a great time. And right before I got to first hour, I saw a Christian cuss somebody out. I was just like, wow, well, that person isn't letting their light shine. So I was like, I'm not going to let that affect my day. I'm just going to keep going. Sorry about that person, God. I just pray that they realize what they've done. And so then it happened again and again, and it happened 5 times that day where people were just not being Christ-like, and it really burdened my heart, and I knew that's exactly what I had to talk to you guys about tonight. Talk about the hypocrisy of Christians. Now, I want to open with a Gandhi quote. How many of you know Gandhi? Yeah, I thought he'd be more popular. Look him up on Wikipedia. But I will tell you a little bit about him. This is what his quote. He says, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Now think about that. How many of you thought that? Let's be honest tonight. How many of you are like, well, you Christians aren't necessarily like Christ, what I read in the Bible. And I'm going to raise my hand with you. I am totally down for that because I believe it. And it's burdened my heart. You see, Romans 12:9, that's a book in the Bible, and that's a chapter, and that's a verse. And there's 3 sentences in it, and it says, let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Now, what's great about this verse is it has 3 points. It's perfect to remember. Let your love be without hypocrisy. And this, he's obviously telling the Christians, let your love be without hypocrisy. But I have seen so many people have this hypocritical love. You guys get what I'm talking about? Like, yeah, I love you. Nah, I'm going to go talk bad about you. You know, it's just, it really hurts my heart. And then the next sentence, it says, abhor what is evil. Now, you little kids, abhor means hate. All right, Shay, you got that? Hate. All right. So anyways, hate what is evil. But I see so many Christians partying up on the weekends, loving to do stuff that God has called us not to do. And then cling to what is good. Now, obviously, this one ties into hate what is evil. Because if you love what is evil, you aren't clinging to what is good. You're not clinging to the Word of God. You're not clinging to the things that God has called us to cling to. So, all of us in here are hypocrites to end the story. But I want to talk to you guys about that tonight. You see, the main point is that I've seen so many Christians say they're Christian, but not live it out with their lifestyle. I see it on their Facebook info, Christian. And then you go to the wall and you're like, wait, I need to check that info again. I'm not quite sure if this is going together. Now, I hope a lot of you guys are convicted tonight. See, I myself was convicted very much so. I was hurt because God has opened my eyes to see how we're so hypocritical. And so I blog. How many of you blog? Blogging is fun. All right, I feel like a loser now. Okay, thank you. Blogging is a lot of fun. So I blog my thoughts sometimes. And I blog that if I weren't a Christian and I lived in Queen Creek, I'm not sure if I'd ever become a Christian because I see so many Christians live their lifestyle and there's nothing different. There's nothing cool about it. There's nothing special. Why be Christian? And some of you are like, wow, Trey, I can't believe you said that. But I'm serious, and that hurts my heart that I have to say that. But I want to be honest with you tonight. I want to be transparent. And so in my walk, I've been really trying to walk like Christ and stuff. And God convicted me to read the Bible in B90X. How many know P90X? Well, it's B90X. Yeah, it's kind of cheesy, I know. But it's the Bible in 90 days. Well, I cut it down a little, and I read it in 49. It was a lot of fun. I encourage you to read your Bible every day. But I ran across Revelation 3. I want you guys to open that with me. If you have your Bible, it'll be on the screen, hopefully, too. Now, this is what we're going to talk about, the lukewarm Christians. So I want to start in Revelation 3 and go, and I'm going to start in verse 15. Now, mind that this is Jesus talking to this church of Laodicea. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eye so you can see. Now, I'm going to kind of explain this to you. Now, Jesus is talking, writing these letters to these churches, and John is writing it for Jesus. And they go to the church of Laodicea, and it's not a good report. It's not a good letter. He's saying you guys are lukewarm. Now, in verse 15, it says, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Actually, in verse 16. Now, can you imagine that? Jesus. Jesus is great, right? Can you imagine him spitting you out of his mouth? Other people say, well, sometimes, you know, it's good spit. You know, sometimes there's nothing good about it. I'm sorry. Spit is spit. It's nasty. Nobody likes to get spat on or spat out. And so a lot of us read this as Christians. Our core groups, we read this, 3 weeks ago at core groups. We get convicted. We're like, man, I am lukewarm. I'm not living on fire for Christ. But then nothing ever changes. We just go out the next day and live our life like we always have been. And it just doesn't make sense to me. But then there's those other people who think that, well, these guys are just Christians, but they just need to be woken up. They just need to be spat on and, you know, maybe they'll get better. But that's not what it's saying. Let's read again verse 17. It says, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Are these Christians? I once was blind, but now I'm blind. I thought more people would laugh. I'm going to say it one more time. I once was blind, but now I'm blind. Thank you for the cheap laughs. It helps my self-esteem. So anyways, is what he's telling this church is that you guys aren't the real deal. You are not what I've called you to be. You're not even Christian. You're not living your life. So, is what he's telling us is that don't come with this lukewarm type of love. Love Christ. And so, when I think about this passage, I think, all right, I think about what it means now, and then how can it mean to me? What it means then, how can it mean to me now? And so I was thinking, and I put myself in the position, I was like, what if I lived in Laodicea at that time? Would I fit in this church? Would they say, lukewarm, Laodicea, you guys are terrible, but Trey, on the other hand, he is living for Christ. You could totally tell. Or would it be, yep, all of you, lukewarm. And it was really convicting my heart. Are you the person who would say, you know what, all you guys can go against Christ, but I'm going to stand up for Jesus, no matter what the cost. I'm going to live like he's called me to live. Now, I want to, and that's really a crazy thought when you think about it. Now, I want to give you an illustration. All right, Reed and Wyatt, raise your hands. They're my neighbors over there. So they're younger than me, obviously, right? A lot of my days I've spent playing basketball. How many of you love basketball? It's a great sport. If you don't like it, learn to. And so I'm over there shooting hoops all the time, and every once in a while, Reed and Wyatt come over. They're into skateboarding, they're into all kinds of stuff, but every once in a while they're nice to me and come play with me. And so what we do, we lower down the hoop, we play 2-on-1, or all the neighbors come on, whatever on one, and it's a blast. And what's great is that I always come out winning. So I come out, you know, since I have self-esteem issues, as we've resolved earlier, I feel great. You know, I'm dunking over them, you know, I'm like, yeah, you know, like the movies, you know, I'm like, you know. And they're just like, you're awesome. You're good, dude. Wow, you just made that shot? And I'm like, you betcha. That was me. I'll do it again if you want to. And I feel so great. And then I realize, I'm like, wait a minute. They're like this tall. I'm in high school. They're not even, you know, wow. I'm thinking I'm so great, but I'm comparing myself to them. And I think that could relate to us as Christians. There are just not that many ball players out there anymore. There's not that many people living for Christ. So we compare ourselves to other people who say, I'm a great Christian. This person says he's a Christian. I'm doing exactly what this person's doing. So I have no problem. I'm not lukewarm. I'm just right with everybody else. See, I believe that's wrong. I believe that we need to compare ourselves to the Word of God. You see, because people like me and people who are upstage, we might be deemed as godly, right? I've been called, Trey, you're so godly. But then I think, am I really that godly? I mean, I know the junk I'm going through. I'm not that godly at all. And I'm ashamed of it, but I'm not that godly. And then I think, is it that I'm so godly, or is it that everybody else is so ungodly that if I show an ounce of godliness, I am praised as a person who is just on fire for God? Now, because that doesn't make sense to me, because we aren't living as Christians should. Because I just read the Bible cover to cover. I didn't use any commentary. I didn't listen to what anybody else thought of it. I read it for myself, and I wanted to make my own just belief on it. And what I got out of it from cover to cover is that, first of all, Jesus is everything. And second of all, I want that spirit that they talk about. This spirit changes everything. This spirit has so much power, we cannot even fathom how great this spirit is. Now, another basketball illustration. Okay, I play on the high school team. We didn't do too swell this year. It's all right. We did great last year. And so it's a lot of fun. I was a senior. I started, and it was a lot of fun. But let's say, who am I going to pick on? Guy. Do you play basketball? Okay, you don't. That's perfect. Now I can make fun of you. No, I'm just kidding. No, listen. Now, let's say, hypothetically speaking, Guy would always beat me in basketball. Nonstop. I come, I'm like, I'm going to beat you this time. And he beats me like 30-5, right? So this guy's a stud and I'm not. And so let's say I go up to Guy one day and I say, hey, Guy, I just talked to God and he gave me this awesome spirit. And whoo! Tomorrow at the courts at 1 o'clock, meet me at the gym. Let's go. I'm going to beat you, and you're going to go crying home to your mommy. Okay, so the next day, 1 o'clock, I come up in there, got my headband on everywhere, you know, ready to play you, and you beat me again. What does that have to say? I mean, I'm a dummy because I say I have the spirit, but I really don't, and you're still awesome. You see, what I'm saying is that so many of us, we say we have the spirit that could do so much, but we're still losing the game. And that's the problem. But okay. So some of you are in here right now saying, okay, I understand that, so I'm not going to be lukewarm anymore. So I'm going to do all this stuff for God. I'm just going to work, work, work. I'm going to make sure everything up here is perfect. I'm just going to work, 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 work. I'm not going to talk to Jesus, but I'm going to do stuff so that he thinks, you know, he loves me and I love him. But that's not the point. It's not about doing more. Let's read on in Revelation 3, 19 and 20. To those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. This is Jesus talking right here. It says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. So do you get what he's saying here? Jesus isn't saying, scream louder in worship and then you won't be lukewarm. Jesus isn't saying, make this gathering as perfect as possible and then you won't be lukewarm. You see, he's saying, I want a relationship with you. I want that love relationship. I want to be a part of your life. And it's funny because when we think about it, do we really love God? Do we really have this relationship with God, or is it just all in the head? Thinking, well, yeah, it's there. I'm just going to do stuff and then I'll say I'm a Christian and I'm fine. But we really need to get down to it and think about it. You see, because when you're in love, you do some crazy things. How many of you have been in love before? You're too young. Amen. All right, so some of you have been in love. I mean, even third grade love, right? You're like, oh, yeah. Anyways, so you guys have been in love at some point in your life with your mom. Have you been in love with your mom? You love your mom. Okay, good. Well, anyways, so when you're in love, you do some crazy things. You see, I'm going to relate to the guys right now because I'm not a girl, if you haven't noticed. So I'm going to relate to the guys. Something that really bothers me, but I know I have to do. You know when a girl is like, when you know it's expected of them that they need flowers, let's say you're going to the prom, and you have to get them flowers. I don't know about you guys, but that just totally, I feel like I'm losing my man card. So I have to go to Safeway or whatever great flower store you guys are talking about. And I have to go in there, go to the flower section, sit there for a while because you have to remember what's her favorite flower, what's her favorite color. You're sitting there like, oh, like, I don't know, I'm sweating and everything else. Pick the flower, and I think, okay, I got like 20 feet to the closest register. That one's closed. Oh, no, I got 25 feet. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like not touching the flowers yet. I'm just waiting. You know, I'm getting as close to the register as I can. Pick up the flowers last minute. And you don't run because then everybody will notice you, but you don't walk slow because then you have a better chance of everybody seeing you. I've thought this all through. Trust me. And so you get the flower, and you're like, you know, you run over there. You're like, oh, hurry, buy this. You know, you buy it. But you do it even though it's a pain because you love that person, because you care for them. I mean, so you guys probably don't relate to me. And that just embarrasses me. I don't know why. But say you want to wash their car. You want to do all this stuff for this love because you love them. You see, that's what happens when you're in love with Jesus. You want to do this stuff automatically. That's what he's asking you to do. He's saying we're skipping a step. Now, this is where it's cool. Let's read verse 21. It says, to him who overcomes. Now, this is saying the Christian who says, all right, I am done living my life lukewarm. I love you, Jesus, and now I'm going to live my life completely for you. I'm surrendered. It says, to him who overcomes, I, being Jesus, will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now, do you get what this is saying? He is saying that Jesus, this awesome, almighty, powerful, is saying, you can come sit on my throne. And what's really cool, some of you guys don't necessarily know what this throne consists of. Well, what's really cool is that chapter 4 is tied in with chapter 3. So we could read about the throne, and then I'll start in verse 3. And he's describing the throne. It says, and the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. And then verse 4, surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the center around the throne were four living creatures. And they were covered with eyes in front and back. Imagine these creatures. These are crazy creatures. Eyes everywhere. You can't get past them. And so it says in verse 7, the first living creature was like a lion. The second one was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. And the fourth one was like a flying eagle. And each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. And day and night, they never stop, 24/7. They're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Now, this is an amazing picture of the throne. There's lightning. There's just all this stuff going on. But they're focused on the throne and how great and mighty powerful he is. And if you go on to chapter 5, it talks about there's 100 million angels around the throne worshiping him. And what's so awesome is that we get the chance to be on the throne. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me. That makes me not want to be lukewarm anymore at all. See, he's given us this great opportunity. And that makes me not care about anything else. You see, the other day I said I ran across this and I was startled by it. And it was funny, a couple friends and Jordan was asking me his question, and I'm like, I don't know, I just got to sit on the throne. And she's like, what are you talking about? I was like, I just got to sit on that throne. And I'm mesmerized. My life, I want to live it so that I sit on that throne for God. And if you don't get it, if you think, oh yeah, the throne, that's cool, whatever. You don't get it, I promise you. This is amazing. Now, there's only so much I can do to wake you up. There's only so much I can do that will tell you that God is powerful, God is amazing, and that you can get on this throne, and this throne is awesome. So I'm going to share with you how you could let the Holy Spirit in your life so that you do recognize what this love is, so that you do partake in this love. I want to show you how God loved us, because God did not have a lukewarm love for us at all. You see, it's a love story, the best love story ever. See, God is right here, and he is almighty and powerful. He can do whatever he wants. But he decided to make humans. He made Adam and Eve, and he created them and had fellowship with them, and he enjoyed them. But then Adam and Eve sinned, and we all sin. We all sin today. It's because they took something, they took the apple, and thought that this apple will cause me to be greater than God. And you guys think that's funny because you know that's not possible. But that's what all of our sin does. We say, I'm going to be bigger than God. God is not going to satisfy me as much as this sin, so I'm going to partake in it. See, when that happens, though, God is over here, and he can't have fellowship with you anymore because he's holy. He's absolutely holy, and he can't be around anything that's unholy. It's impossible for him because if he was something, if he touched something unholy, that would make him unholy, and that would make him not mighty. So it's impossible. See, now some of us recognize that. Some of us wake up to the fact that we're separated from God. And so we go, all right, just like these lukewarm people. They say, I'm going to work, work, work. I'm going to work for him, and somehow I'm going to climb my way back up to God. But it's impossible. You can't climb. So now there's a predicament. Humans can't do anything to get to God, like work. They can't do anything. No good deeds. But we're separated. So what do we do? You see, this is when the love story kicks in. God sent his son into the earth and lived a perfect life. His name was Jesus. And this is how he could connect to us. You see, because in Hebrews 9, it says that nothing can be paid for. Our sins can't be paid for unless through blood. So Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. And there's us and here's God. And he's saying, okay, here's the gap. I am allowing you to come through if you take this cross. If you take, I will have a love relationship with you, and everything will be so much better. You see, and this is the process. A lot of people, there's three steps, and a lot of people either take one, two, none, or three. They do go all the way through, and that's the third step is when you're actually a Christian. You see, because God is calling you, saying, I love you. Just accept that you've messed up. So I say, okay, God, I accept that I messed up. I believe I sinned. I believe I messed up. I believe that you are holy and that I'm unholy, so there's a gap here. So I admit that. I admit I'm bad. I admit I don't treat everybody good. So I'll take this first step. Now here's the next step that some people don't take. And then he asks us, okay, you admit you're a sinner, that's great, but now I need you to believe that I did this. I sent this cross. You need to believe I sent my son to die on the cross for your sins. So people go, and this is where a lot of people think they're Christian here. They go, yes, I believe that. Okay, I'm Christian now. I believe in Jesus. I believe he's there. I believe it's a historical event. I believe it happened. So thank you, God. I have a relationship. And then we go walk in our lives, and nothing's changed. It's like that basketball, the basketball illustration. I'm still getting beat. So there's a third step. You see, I want to explain to you guys that Jesus has to have a relationship with you. Because I know the president. How many of you know the president of the United States of America, Barack Obama, right? Okay, do you guys know where he lives right now? Okay, White House. Thank you. I was getting really scared you guys didn't know that. So, the White House. So, let's say I travel all the way to Washington, D.C., and I go to the White House, and I step on the front lawn, and I'm going towards the front door because I know Barack Obama. And all security guards come in. They get on the ground. They taser me, you know, whatnot. I don't know what happens. Tell me if you try it. And what happens is that they get you out, like, and I'm saying, no, I know the president, so I can go through. And he goes, but he doesn't know you, so leave. This wasn't a scheduled appointment. You have to get out. But what if Barack Obama knew me? Then I'd be able to go through the White House, through valet service, and I'd get into the White House, and I'd be able to talk to him. See, that's what happens to us. We believe in Jesus, but we haven't taken that step for us to have a relationship together. So this is the last step. When you take this step, it's confessing that he's your Lord. This is when it says, okay, I am done living my life just lukewarm. I am done living this life trying to please myself. I'm giving absolutely everything to you, God, and I'm going to take this step. It might be scary. I got to jump over a few things. I'm very nervous because I was content with believing. But now if you do this, you have this relationship. And you're not on that side anymore. You're with God. You're rubbing elbows. You guys are tight. You know, you guys, you're able to go to heaven. So many blessings come out if you take this last step. Now, some of you are wondering, how come I don't get on fire for God? Well, maybe it's because you didn't take this last step. Maybe it's because just we're content with believing. And as you could see, there's still more to go. See, that's the gospel. That's the good news. That's what makes, personally, that's what makes my life tick. Because Jesus did that for me, or else I'd be completely miserable. And when you receive that Spirit, you're so different. There's a radical change, and I hope and I pray that you believe that. And if you don't, just look around at people who are sold out for Christ. Come to it and see what happens. You see, because if all of us in this room sold out for Christ, this Queen Creek community would be changed. Our schools would be changed. This Arizona would be changed. Everything would happen because we took and we said, okay, Jesus, I love you and I know you love me. Now, I'm going to give you one more last illustration just to help you guys realize what it means. So, okay. Let's say I was late. I told all you guys to come to the gathering, right? And the worst, this is exactly what it looks like. Look at the front stage. That's what happens. All the people in the band are done. And I come running in. And I'm grabbing my mic. And I'm trying to put it on as fast as I can because I feel terrible. And I run up to you guys. I don't take the time to run up here. And I say, guys, I am so sorry I am late. And then one of you guys out, why are you late? Oh, are you kidding me? And I'm like, I am so sorry. I'm sorry. You see, I was in California this weekend. I was. And I was on the highway, and I got a flat tire. You see, don't worry, I wasn't pushing time. I left this morning, and I got a flat tire, though, on the highway. And so, luckily, I had a spare. So don't worry, I had a spare. So I pulled over on the side of the road, and I was right next to the highway. It was actually scary, but I knew I couldn't disappoint you guys. And so I get down there, and I'm changing my tire, and all of a sudden, a lug nut falls in the middle of the highway. And I'm thinking, I have to get here on time. I have to get there on time. So I wasn't even really thinking about who was around me. I ran out there and I picked up the lug nut. And I picked it up and I looked ahead of me. And it was 10 yards in front of me. It was a 30-ton logging truck going 90 miles per hour at my distance. And so I was like, oh my gosh, what do? I try to run out and I get ran over. So that's why I'm late, guys. I got ran over by a 30-ton logging truck going 90 miles per hour. But I'm here. So I'll speak. And you guys will go, okay, there's only two logical conclusions about this guy. One, he's a liar. That's the lamest excuse I've ever heard. Worse than my dog ate my homework. And two, the second conclusion is that he's a madman. He's crazy in the head, right? So then you guys will tell me, you guys will say, Trey, something that enormous coming at your way and having impact with you, when you get an encounter with something that large, there's no way you wouldn't be changed anymore. You would be permanently changed, if let alone alive. Your life would change forever. Now, my question to you is, which one is bigger, the logging truck or God? God is here, and he can make a huge difference in your life, a huge encounter. And as the music plays, I want to give you guys this opportunity to have this encounter. I want to give you guys the chance to find God as your Father, as loving and the one who's there for you. Now, what I did, how I took these three steps is I prayed. And I was convicted. And I was 6 years old, and a lot of people do it at different ages. But I just knew that I messed up. So I said, all right, Mom, I messed up, so what am I supposed to do? I know I'm a sinner. I know I did wrong. And so she goes, well, it's a love story, Trey. It's a love story. I'm like, okay, tell me the love story. And she talked about how Jesus sent. God sent his son down to earth and died. And that because of that, because he's perfect and because he died for me, I can take that payment and use that blood to get to God. But you have to know that he's your Lord. He's your Savior. And there's no other way to heaven but him. And he will be with you forever. So I said, I know it's true. I know it's true. Now, if you guys are thinking that, I know it's true. This is what I prayed. And you guys could just think, you could pray it in your head. This is what I did. I said, Dear God, I admit I'm a sinner. I messed up. I do mean things. I'm always messing up. But the great thing is, God, is that I know that you sent your son to die on the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. And I said, and Lord, especially, I know that you're my Lord. I know that you're my Savior, the only way. I know that I am now under your command. And I said, Amen. And all of a sudden, I got this great power. I felt it. I felt the Holy Spirit come in me, and my life's been changed ever since. As you guys stand, I want you guys to really, that means you guys stand right now. I want you guys to think about that. If you're convicted, if you want to pray that prayer, if you did pray that prayer, I encourage you, please come up. We'll pray through it. and just talk about how awesome your life is going to be now. But now I want to talk to you Christians, because I haven't talked to you guys for a while now. How many of you have just lived that lukewarm, typical life? How many of you this past week, this past month, and I see faces in here that I know have done it, lived hypocritical? You guys could just come here at the altar and leave it there and say, okay, God, I am taking a stand. I know that you're my Savior, and I'm sorry I haven't been living it that way. Maybe you want to rededicate. Whatever it is, I ask you guys to come forward as the music plays.